Hello, I'm Ken DeLuke, and welcome to the Turning Point Podcast, the bi-weekly program that features interesting people from all walks of life, addresses the concerns and events from the movers and shakers in your community, and provides a forum for you, the listener, to ask questions and share what keeps you up at night. To ask a question, please leave a voicemail at 312-866-7174. That's 312-866-7174, or leave an email at theturningpointpodcast.com. That's theturningpointpodcast.com. Now, your host is Mohammed Fahim, a candidate for the United States U.S. House of Representatives of Illinois. Mr. Fahim.
Thank you for the introduction, Ken. And if you could please introduce our guest for tonight.
Well, I'm super excited. I have one of the best guests we've ever had on. Today's guest is one of the highest respected defensive players that's ever played in the NFL. He's actually only one of seven defensive players to be nominated Super Bowl MVP. And he's one of the nicest guys I've ever met, a man who literally needs no introduction. It's my privilege to introduce to you Hall of Famer and Bears great, Mr. Richard Dent. Fahim?
Hey,
good
Richard.
Evening, guys. Good evening.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Pleasure.
Yep, thank you so much for joining us. And we've been looking forward to this podcast for quite some time. I know that, off the recording, we were talking about some of your background. Growing up in Atlanta, Georgia, mm-hmm. One of nine children and the middle child who was the giant in the family, right? So...
I would say so. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Did anybody tell you the story of Jack and the Beanstalk when you were growing up?
No, I saw it before, but we didn't elaborate on it. But I do understand how Jack felt.
Okay. So you were telling me again before we got started on recording the podcast that you were an entrepreneur growing up. So what was the first business like?
Yeah, growing up in Atlanta, with nine kids and being six out of nine, seven boys, well, eight boys and one girl, and being that middle child, I realize that, the pass down stuff, you kind of look at your house to me, you try to look to find leaders within the home. If you can't find it in the home, then, you look other places. But, my mother and my father, were people, he was all about, pushing the kids at that time. The Jackson 5 was hot. And, my father thought he hit the next Jackson 5 or the next Temptation or whatever it may be. So we used to have concerts in our backyard to get in. And I'm talking at the age of, 7, 8, 9, 10, throughout. And, after that money split, it just wasn't enough. And I used to cut grass. I worked with my mother on the church on Tuesdays and Thursdays, I told a story about my age, so I was able to, in that time, corporations, also took advantage of kids working and fast food. But to me, fast food were the jobs for kids mm-hmm. to work. Today it's, multiple kids, multiple ages, but, coming out of high school, I had worked at every fast food known to man at that time, so.
So
good idea about that.
Here's the question, Richard. You said that
sure.
You worked at every fast food known to man. So you were kind of jumping from job to job now. Was it because you were eating all the food that you're supposed to be serving?
well, just getting creative, working at Burger King, Church's okay. Chicken, Zesto's, clothing stores, Morrison Cafeteria. I was a chef at a restaurant, a French restaurant in my high school days. I didn't really start playing sports until 11th, 12th grade. And at that time, it was about I had to go out and make some money for myself to take care of myself. I mean, my family, I can recall times when the house is cold or the lights is out and things of that nature that really had me curiosity about the energy business. And later in my life, I had a chance to get in that space. That's what I'm in now. But, you know, the most important part was, you know, just being a kid, enjoying myself. A buddy of mine made a bet with me, and he wanted to get me out in school, and he was graduating in 76, and I had 2 years left, and we made a bet to go play, and his father did not allow him to play. His father was a minister, and he was this last year, and he played in the band. So Scott basically, you know, pushed me out to play, and Scott come out, he's one door over from me, and one house in between us. He'd come out of his house with his band uniform, come to my house, and take the band uniform off, and we go to the field, you know, to play the game. So his last year, his family didn't come out and watch him, but, you know, to me, I say, Scott, if you're willing to do that, I'm willing to go out and try to play. Like kids, like anybody, you know, you're afraid to pursue your dream. You're worried about some things that you have no control over. But, you know, he pushed me there, and here I am today. Without him there, I might have been, you know, maybe owning a Burger King or a McDonald's, but it did allow me to open my eyes to see, you know, how to treat people. Again, that's something that my mother taught me, you know, being a caterer, being a person, you know, she did my taxes, she did other people's taxes, you know, she cleans, she was a maid, she was a nanny, she was all of them, you know, and she helped, you know, raise nine kids as well. So she's always been the rock, and you know, my father, he's a guy that did a lot of work too, but yet someone that really tried to put a lot in his kids for, you know, what was taking place at that time. Yeah, you know, I kind of laughed at my brother's name because after all that, you know, I go into the NFL and who gets a gold record? Who gets a video? Me. They still in the garage trying to put their band together, right?
I believe Ken wants to chime in with a question for you, Richard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just a Bears fanatic, and I'll forget the 85-86 Bears season. It was freaking amazing. A couple just quick questions that I had for you. One, it was kind of amazing the dynamic, the culture of that team, because you had Buddy Ryan on one side of the aisle, and he was a brilliant defensive coordinator, and then you had Mike on the other end, and it never seemed as though those two got along. If one, you could kind of tell me your perspective from those days, and then the other thing is, in that season, what was the most memorable moment of the Super Bowl season for you?
Well, you know, coming there, you know, coming to Chicago, being a city that I knew kids that I at college at my school, Genesee State, that I would meet, and, you know, they were all cool people, and, you know, and you look and say, the only thing you know about Chicago is Walter Payton. So didn't know much about that, but I knew what kind of guy Walter were. And coming into the, not just the season, but coming to the team, you know, Buddy and Mike, you know, they were kind of going at it. I was kind of used to it, but watching it. And then I understood that the guys had sent a letter to George Halas before Dick got there. They wanted Buddy to be the head coach. And George Halas, the man that started football, basically told Buddy Ryan he could be defense coordinator as long as he liked. So for Buddy, it was a situation basically, you know, Mike could not, you know, do anything without Dick. And Buddy couldn't do anything without Mike. So both guys, you know, had a situation there that they had to work together. You know, neither one could push neither one away. And it went on doing the field. You know, when you're trying to get a play right, you know, Buddy said, let's get it right. Then we get it right. Then Dickens says it, let's get it right. We're like, hey, we can't get this play right. We can't satisfy both of you guys, right? So that was, you know, that was a tough task, but it was a lot of fun. You know, I think that, you know, what I hate about all that is that, you know, we had a chance to, you know, to win two or three Super Bowls in a row. You know, we did what we had to do during the season to get, you know, prepared. But I think in that quarterback space, we did not operate properly, you know, and we had people on the sideline that we couldn't continue on working with. We were bringing other people in you know, at middle or end of the season, trying to do something that, you know, it's very impossible to do. It's possible that with our defense, you know, people thought you could put anybody at quarterback, but, you know, that's true. That's true to a point. But that Super Bowl year, I would say, you know, probably the game that, probably the San Francisco game for me, because I was negotiating my contract at that time, and San Francisco had beat us the year before, and I wanted to, you know, I was basically, you know, making $90,000, and I created a situation. Well, a created situation took place where they did not want to pay me what I wanted on salary, but they was trying to incentivize me. And basically, I told my guys, let's start throwing all this stuff on the wall. And we threw it up on the wall. And, you know, we were somewhere close to $1 million, you know. And wow. Then I tell them right before that game, I said, they said, well, you know, the Bears are good with it. I said, okay, let's make it retroactive. So then my lawyer came back to me and said, okay, it's retroactive going into that game. Then he said, okay, now we want to talk about salary. I said, don't worry about it. We don't need to talk about it. I said, don't call him back. They'll understand, okay? So meaning that I'm going to incentivize you, and I'm going to do what I need to do. And that's what I did. And, you know, the next year they didn't want me to have all those incentives. Now they're paying me what I was asking for. And you see that one is worthy of that. So there's many ways of how to skin a cat or how to get to the cat. It's just having the opportunity, you know, that what I was looking for. I mean, I was a 7-round pick, and in my second year, I started the last 10 games, and I had 1 sack, and I basically get 16 sacks in 10 games. I get 10 sacks in 3 games. So, you know, and what hurt me the most, I guess, I didn't get anything for that. I didn't get anything for being, you know, the leader. I mean, anytime that a person in the NFL leads in something, you get something. But I didn't get nothing that year for those 10 games. And I come back the next year, and I led the lead again. I didn't get nothing for it that Super Bowl year. Now, I get the Super Bowl MVP, but that is for the game, not the season, the game. You know, so, you know, I was disappointed the year in 84. I think Dan Hampton got defense lineman of the year. And the Super Bowl year.
84, I believe you had, 17.5 sacks in 84, and then you had 17 sacks in 85.
Yeah, so to me, when you lead the league 2 years in a row, you don't get anything for it. You don't get anything for it. I knew whatever it was that the organization didn't appreciate me or whatever it may be, you know, it's not going to stop me from doing my job. But it let me know what I was working with. Okay, I'm going to be the best that I can be. You know, all I need is opportunity. You know, I tell kids when they get drafted, they're always worrying about, oh, I left money on the table. I didn't do this. So look, whatever money they put in your pocket is more than what you have today. Now you're going into a place where you have to go out and prove what you're worth and go get more. Don't think that just because they're giving you today, that's a starting point. The ending point is, you know, where do you go from there?
Yep. And, you know, Chicago's defenses of the mid to late 80s rank as one of the best of all time. And I had just come into the country then, Richard. 84, 83 is when I migrated to the country. And I remember my first Super Bowl. And I had no idea that you could bet on the Super Bowl and all that, but a group in the office that I was working at, they had a pool going on, and I put in my $2 or whatever, and I won some money on this thing.
Right. Well, you know, we you know, I enjoy playing with guys that pushed each other being the best they can be. And to me, you know, if you kind of saw the Super Bowl that passed, you know, guys are rushing a quarterback on their own. You know, when you got a running quarterback, everybody have to be patient and not get out of their lane so you don't allow him there. You know, so I would holler at Otis like, you know, I'm gonna be tight. You flush him out, or I'm gonna flush him out. You keep it tight. But, you know, that's where you want. When guys go solo, I mean, there's nothing wrong with solo because everybody wants the glory, right? Everybody wants that. But hey, you know, they do it as a team. So to me, if I can make another player greater, then that means those other teams gonna have to pay attention to that player. And that gives me.
Speaking of solo, I do remember Walter Payton doing his things in the end zone, man, just flying over people.
Well, you know, he was the rock of the team, without a doubt, you know. Yeah, and he's a guy that, you know, and I tell people, and I don't know why we don't have more Hall of Famers on the offensive line. We finally got Jimbo Covert, but Walter led the league his last 4 years in the league.
Yep.
You tell me a running back that leads the league at his last 4 years.
Yeah.
That doesn't happen.
That doesn't happen. Hey, speaking of things happening, did you ever get into a one-on-one with the fridge for anything? Who was bigger? You or the fridge?
Well, the fridge was bigger on TV. I was bigger on defense and Sunday. Fridge, you know, to get Fridge away from the offense and start, you know, get him on the field to play, you know, was one of the best things, you know, having him beside me. I knew it was going to take two people to block him, and I knew it would take two people to block Steve McMichael. And you're probably going to have one or two that need to block me. That's six people in three. That's three guys taking six people. You only have five linemen. So you do the math, it's a lot of folks running around free. That's not being blocked. You know, Singletary running around free because there's nobody there to block him.
There's
no one there to block him.
Best thing about the fridge, he's also a running back. So
that part he's running back too. But as a football player, he's a good basketball player. He could stand under the rim and go straight up and dunk the ball. Okay.
Really?
You don't have to take. He does not have to take one step. He's just an amazing man, amazing person. You know, once we got on the field, I said, "Look, Fridge, what we're gonna do? We're gonna tell these people what they can't do. We're gonna own this right side. We're gonna make them go the other way." You know, I'm saying, when the ball come my way, run to the numbers. If the ball go outside the numbers, don't worry about it. I got it. But between the hash and the numbers, when you show a person, this is the only space you need to cover going this way. Otherwise, the ball is going to our left. So people didn't give us much action, you know, and I don't stick my nose in his business because it's four or five guys in there. I'm on the edge. My job is to hold the edge. My job is to turn the plays back inside. When you do that, there's not much to do. Go ahead.
I'm sorry, we got to pay some bills here. We got to take a break real quick, and we'll come right back. Mm-hmm. Everybody, we're talking with Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Richard Dent. We'll be back in just a few minutes. If you want to call us and leave us a question or give us a request for some future guest you'd like to have us on, our phone number is 312-866-7174. Of course, you can always leave us a email at theturningpointpodcast.com. We'll be right back after this.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So, please stop by and catch our programming as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television, on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
You know, it's been said that life is too short to drink cheap wine. What a better gift than a nice bottle of wine. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I give a gift of that special wine, and that special occasion where it's used arises, how will they remember it was from me? Bob the Wine Guy has the answer. Bob the Wine Guy specializes in corporate gifts, wine tasting fundraisers, 19th hole golf tournament gifts, and business referral gifts. He's been celebrating over 25 years of matching wonderful people to their exquisite wines and spirits. When you give the gift of wine, your name or your company's name will be personalized, get this, right on the bottle. So on that special occasion, that lucky recipient will know exactly who helped to make it special. Bob the Wine Guy can be reached at 217-415-0966. That's 217-415-0966. Or check out his website at www.pouritagainsam.com.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So please stop by and catch our programming, as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
Hey folks, many of you have heard in the news recently that Congress has passed and the President has signed a bill that provides substantial funds for green energy. You may ask, how does that affect me? Well, the average homeowner, now if your home qualifies, could have a complete solar power system installed on your home at no upfront cost. Having solar on your roof and not drawing power from the grid could save you as much as 50% of what you are currently paying on your current electric bill. Not only that, but you'd be protected from the excessive electric company rate increases that are expected in the near future. If you are interested to see if you qualify, please call me at 312-617-8979, 312-617-8979, and leave a message or shoot me an email at ken.deluke, that's D-E-L-U-C, at sunrun.com. I'll try to help you take advantage of this great opportunity. Hello, folks. You're listening to the Turning Point Podcast. Our special guest today is Mr. Richard Dent, and I'm not going to talk anymore because his stories are more fascinating than mine.
Well, thank you, Ken. And Richard, welcome back. I know that we are having a lot of fun today. But I wanted to start off by asking you, I do remember reading that your threshold of pain was extraordinarily high. I mean, things that hurt other people, especially people like me and Ken, never hurt you. So how did you develop that high threshold of pain tolerance, man?
I don't know. I think, you know, it probably, you know, one thing started. I remember when I started my first game in 83 in Chicago, the last game of the year. And we was playing Green Bay, and we needed to knock them out of the playoffs. This is my rookie year. And you know, at the end of the year, you're not going anywhere. Teams start to, you know, look and see what, you know, what they have. And we played in, it was about, it's probably about 5-10 degrees, but the wind chill was minus 48.
Whoa.
And let me tell you, it taught me mind over matter, okay? it's, you know, it's one of those things when you go to work saying, you know, I can't worry about the weather because I got to be out of here, you know? And that weather, it taught me how to block things out, you know, that, you know, when you're going to play, you know, as long as you know you can move and do certain things, but it's mind over matter, you know. Mother Nature's going to do its thing, you know, if you're sore. I tore my toe in 1990. And I popped my whole big toe out. A guy tackled me. I catch a ball. I run it in for a touchdown. But I know my teammate jumped outside. So I know I'm in the moment. But guy chasing me. And then the play, you know, then I do all of this and the play don't count. Now I get a ruptured big toe, right? So now I can't practice for 8 weeks. I can only ride the bike, watch, and pedal on the bike. You know, on Sundays, I got to shoot it up in two different spots. So you're feeling things tearing up. I couldn't get up on my toe anymore. I had to roll, you know, muscle memory, roll my foot on the side of my arch to my right foot. So, to, you know, I'm rushing right side. So that's like a plant and roll than a plant turn and roll. So you just kind of figure out what you're trying to do. And after the season, I just, you know, it didn't hurt anymore. We just tape it down. Then, you know, I just got that foot fixed in 16. And today I can get up on my toes and turn and pivot. So took a while. It took a while. The reason I had to get it done, because I love to play golf. And if you can't push off that right foot, if you can't push off your right big toe, you're pretty much done, because you don't have the balance, you know.
Yeah. So coming back to what you are doing currently now, apart from playing golf, and I know that you're headed out to a party to celebrate Michael Jordan's 60th birthday. Apart from those things, what keeps Richard Dent busy during the day now? What are you up to?
Well, you know, when I got out of football in 97, I joined a company by the name of First Energy. I was working with them out of Ohio. They gave me an opportunity to represent First Communication in Illinois. So we did commercials. It was a CLEC. You know, we were selling Quest. We were selling SBC, local line services. So I kind of knew a little bit. I'm kind of techie. So I knew a little bit about the technology. But I didn't know much about energy. So, and as I was growing up, you know, not having that product, and I met some folks and had the opportunity to learn that product, they were selling coal to the utility. So this is back in the Enron days, when Enron was buying every company on the West Coast, and First Energy spending billions of dollars buying everything on the East Coast. So these two big gorillas are coming together, and, you know, they're trying to, and next thing you know, all stockholders, I should say, decided to, you know, tell these entities to get back in their core business to sell in demand, not trying to get in, you know, the small guy space, the energy space. And today, you know, I've been in the energy now since 99. From 2000 to 2008, I represented the city of Chicago, Mr. Daley, on electric supply. And, you know, I changed supplies within ComEd and did that for quite some time, to where you can make money on a percentage of savings. Mm-hmm. So by year eight in there, all savings were gone around the city. So I look and say, well, I look like I'm out of business. And I'm looking at the supplier. I'm like, well, I want to be with that guy. I want to be a supplier to sell power. Mm-hmm. You know, and to me, it's always been something, you know, you represent. It's nice to help people that, you know, you could potentially help when you've been through that point of when your lights are out and you're a kid. You don't know that they're out because you can't pay the bill, or they just turn out. We don't know. We just realize I don't have it like some of the people have it up and down the street. So I always had a curiosity for it. You know, I was an energy manager for Chicago Public School. In 2014-15, I did the largest power deal in the country. We did Chicago, the city of Chicago irrigation. And that's 3.5 million people, me and a company called Integrus. We did that, and then Integrus turned around and get bought by Constellation. As they say, if you can't beat them, buy them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that took to them. So on, you know, energy reduction, capping landfills, turning landfills into solar fields. So I'm intrigued about technology, and I'm intrigued about energy, as you see.
So how important is it now, Richard, from your point of view, that we look at renewable sources of energy?
Well, when I look at it, well, first of all, obviously this war that's going on with Putin, creating problems with prices and things of that nature. Two, this is a product that is not a burger, a hot dog, and other things. That's the option. This is the product you have to have, like water. You know, I would like to see at some point, you know, when does energy, internet, gas become a product like we do with water. I mean, we all need water to be on the planet. We all need these things to be on the planet. So to an aggregation mode, a situation as, to me, when people buy it together, you get a better price. Obviously, individually, you know, you get certain sets of price. But one of my clients is Cresco Labs. You know, they're one of the biggest company out there, and to be able to work with people like that, it means a lot. And, you know, I know I'm the only minority in the state of Illinois with electric supply that can be sold. And I think I might be the only minority in the country that can do electric supply across the country.
That's awesome, Richard. And
that's awesome. But still, again, you know, I try to tell people, you know, the poles are ours. The poles, you know, ComEd, the utility's there to serve us. You have the option to get in that business. You don't get in, you don't. But yet, you know, to me, being able to serve someone in a way, this is a power situation that you may not know who your supplier, you know, me, I'm all about it. If I can't save you money, stay where you're at. If I can save you money, give me a chance.
Hey, Richard, I don't know if you've heard this, but about two and a half weeks ago, ComEd applied with the ICC to get a $1.5 billion increase in everyone's bills on the delivery side. I think over the next 5 years, they anticipate that to be somewhere in the tune of about 80% increase in everyone's electric bill, because like you said about the poles and everything else, I guess over 75% of the current infrastructure is over 25 years old, and nationwide they're expecting that to replace that infrastructure in the next 20 years, it's going to cost over $20 trillion. So I applaud what you're doing right now and coming up with an alternative plan to make some of this work, because it's really important right now.
Right. Well, you know, Illinois right now, electric supply bill is $13.2 billion, okay? Mm-hmm. So ComEd is going to get at least half of that on the delivery. Supplier is going to get the other half. But, you know, and when you look at electric cars and you look at cannabis, power is going up, buddy. When you look at it, the power is going to go up. Now, it's other stuff out there. Like I'm involved with a group with crude oil. You know, that is another spot where people are looking to, you know, reduce your demand. So it's other stuff that's out there. I have stuff out there on my website, and that's RLD Resource without the S. You can look and take a look at my partners and see, you know, some of the new technology and stuff that's coming to market. You know, I have a product that basically reduce your power demand by 80%. You know, and if you got to put solar on the roof, we basically take you off the grid. You know, so it's to me, it's not about the money. It's about solving people's problems. That's what I like. I mean, solving that problem. It's just like third down. Hey, you know, we need to have it. We need to have it. I like to get out there and get that and solve that problem. You know, being able to rush the quarterback, get the man down, get off the field. Or if the offense not doing well, we used to tell our offense, hey, guys, just hold them. Just hold them for two rounds, and we'll come back and we'll score. So, you know, we would piss our guys off by doing that.
Well, but that's what I do. That is how the world turns, Richard. Let's take a quick break and come back finish off our conversation. Again, thank you so much, folks. My guest on the Turning Point podcast is Richard Dent. Doesn't need any introduction. Just the name is enough to let you know who he is. And I was telling Richard when we started the conversation that my brother-in-law, who has no interest in sports, knows the name of Richard Dent. And that told me that, anyone else out there, they know who he is. And Richard, thank you so much for joining us. We'll take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Our phone number is 312-866-7174 if you want to leave a message. And if you want to leave an email, just go to our website, theturningpointpodcast.com. When we come back, we'll ask Richard the two questions we ask every guest on our show. We'll be back right after this.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So, please stop by and catch our programming as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television, on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
You know, it's been said that life is too short to drink cheap wine. What a better gift than a nice bottle of wine. Now, I know what you're thinking. When I give a gift of that special wine and that special occasion where it's used arises, how will they remember it was from me? Bob, the wine guy, has the answer. Bob, the wine guy, specializes in corporate gifts, wine tasting fundraisers, 19th hole golf tournament gifts, and business referral gifts. He's been celebrating over 25 years of matching wonderful people to their exquisite wines and spirits. When you give the gift of wine, your name or your company's name will be personalized, get this, right on the bottle. So on that special occasion, that lucky recipient will know exactly who helped to make it special. Bob the Wine Guy can be reached at 217-415-0966. That's 217-415-0966. Or check out his website at www.pouritagainsam.com.
Blue Fathoms Television, a new entertainment venue, is located on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV. Blue Fathoms TV is the place for vintage movies, television shows, and cartoons from a bygone era. You can also find us on the internet at www.blue6tv.com and on Facebook at Blue Fathoms Television. Enjoy Academy Award-winning films featuring legendary actors. So, please stop by and catch our programming as we are always updating. Blue Fathoms Television, on the Roku, Amazon Fire, Apple TV, and Android TV platforms.
Hey folks, many of you have heard in the news recently that Congress has passed and the President has signed a bill that provides substantial funds for green energy. You may ask, how does that affect me? Well, the average homeowner, now if your home qualifies, could have a complete solar power system installed on your home at no upfront cost. Having solar on your roof and not drawing power from the grid could save you as much as 50% of what you are currently paying on your current electric bill. Not only that, but you'd be protected from the excessive electric company rate increases that are expected in the near future. If you are interested to see if you qualify, please call me at 312-617-8979, 312-617-8979, and leave a message or shoot me an email at ken.deluc, that's D-E-L-U-C, at sunrun.com. I'll try to help you take advantage of this great opportunity. You are listening to the Turning Point Podcast. Our special guest today is Mr. Richard Dent. If you want to leave us a message, give us a call at 312-866-7174, or you can always send us an email on our website at theturningpointpodcast.com. Welcome back, Mohammed and Richard Dent.
Thank you so much again, Ken, and thank you, Richard. So, Richard, looking back at some of the things that you've been doing, I see that you also have the Make a Dent Foundation. What is that about?
Yeah. Well, the Make a Dent Foundation started in 1988 when my mother passed, and it was the Mary and Richard Dent Foundation. And excuse me, I went to Leo Burnett, and you know, at that time I was doing stuff with the homeless. I wanted to help education, help people stay in their homes. And as you see, you know, we had issues in our homes as when I was growing up. So I named it the Mary and Richard Dent. Then when I got to Leo Burnett, they came up with Make a Dent, Make a Difference. Got in there, then we started doing something with Columbia College there in Chicago. And Columbia College is like, we don't have sports. I said, you have management, right? Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, the game of sports is, you know, it's a $100 billion industry, and athletes only make 10%. Who makes all the money? Management. So you don't have to play the game to get in the game. So what we do is, so what Make a Dent does is we help fund kids to get in school, and we help fund kids to get out of school at Columbia College. Well, we've been doing that now since about 2003. We started a sports management, me and we started a sports management program at Columbia College.
I would love to talk to you more about this, Richard, because I've been in workforce and economic development for the last 20 years now. And especially I brought in a couple of programs working with the Illinois WorkNet system for youth at risk, especially you know, kids out of high school don't have a career path in mind. And the program that I started was called as the MCIP program, which stands for the you know, manufacturing careers internship program.
Well, that's, you know, most kids, they see athletics, they see doing these things, entertainment. I'm like, you know, they're like pilots. I'm like, the pilot, we've been shortage in pilots for the last 20 years. You know, a guy don't have to go to college to be a pilot. You know, you have to finish high school. Yeah. You have to get in, you have to get on that, you have to get on that, not the plane, but you have to get some flying time in. You never fly, but you're in there and you're working, you know, you're working in that box to get those hours up. I mean, you can make $500,000. You can make $400,000 a year just flying, you know. And this is something that, you know, the pilots of today did not try to give back to the kids of tomorrow, right? Yep. So we ain't talking about nonprofit. You know, we're talking about, you know, giving going forward, you know, you're giving someone the tool, you know, you got kids at high school that you know that may not go to college. This is, you know, people like to see them flying. People like, kids like to see things up in the air, like to be seen. Being a pilot and flying and being able to have opportunities to fly and go anywhere you like to go. People send planes for 28 hours or 18 hours just to get a maintenance check. So, that this industry, you know, people have to fly, and we need pilots more than anything. And we need kids and young women to, you know, jump into this space to allow us to be able to, you know, to fly and do things, you know, in the world. Because if we don't have them, it's going to be hard for us to go anywhere.
Yep. And I'm really liking what I'm reading about, you know, the program that you have. But coming back to our conversation, what was the turning point in your life that made you who you are today?
Well, I knew that coming from Atlanta. My high school coach, he, I was the first kid that graduated from high school. My sister did, but, you know, she went to be a nurse for 40-50 years in Grady Hospital in Atlanta.
So I believe your high school coach was William Lester, right?
Yeah, my high school coach, he knew that, you know, I wanted to leave town. Didn't matter where I went, I wanted to go. And I had three other buddies of mine. And my school has been sending guys to Tennessee State over the last 5 years. Mm-hmm. So my year, I had three other buddies, and we all went there, and we graduated one day, and 2 days later, we were up at Tennessee State and getting in summer school. And I remember the coach put his, the coach told my coach, hey, coach, we didn't ask for this guy. and my coach put his hand around his shoulder and said, good luck, coach, and walked away.
Yeah, he's here.
I'm standing there like with my mouth. I'm like, really? Wait a minute. Y'all don't want me? But I'm here. You know, so then I wanted to play defense. I mean, I wanted to play tight end. They didn't want me to play tight end, want me to be a lineman. I'm like, who I'm gonna push around at 195 pounds? You know, skinny. I'm like, yeah, I have a son now coming to high school. He looked the same way. He's a wide receiver. So we went along, and, you know, and I knew coming there, I was coming there on a mission, okay? My mission was to accomplish what I accomplished. You know, God gave me the ability to see these things in life. I did not see Hall of Fame. I didn't know anything about Hall of Fame, okay? How I knew about Hall of Fame was Ray Nitschke. I was on a cruise with someone, and Ray was talking to me. He said, hey, kid, if you keep playing like that, you beat Hall of Fame. I was like, what's that? Okay, got it. All right. So, you know, that's the first time I heard about the Hall of Fame. You know, and that was my second year in the league. Ray Nitschke told me this. And so I was you know, I was dying to play, but again, they had me on offense. So I got on the offensive dummy squad, you know, to help our offense to show them plays. And so I started to be a better defensive ball player by looking at my defense and practicing and putting my time in to be the best that I can be. Now, the problem that I had about defense, yeah, I didn't have no problem once I got it. I mean, I raised hell on the offense for the whole season, for the whole spring. And at the end of spring, the next year, they said, okay, you can go to defense. So now I got to run the 2 mile at 14:45. I got to run the mile in 6 minutes. I got to run the quarter in 60 seconds. And I got to run four, and I got to run 4 2:20. Each one you run, you got 80-second break to get back around there. But the first one is 27. 29, 31, 33. You can't miss the last one at all. And if you miss one, you can't miss it over 4 seconds. And as you come through, on the first day, you run the 2 mile. The second day, you're going to run the mile in the morning and the quarter in the afternoon. But coming through, they give you 10 chances to make that mile. 6 minute mile, excuse me, was something that I just couldn't, you know, not can't, but I found myself, I didn't know how to run it. You know, I can do speed, but this distance, like 2 miles, I didn't like. I just didn't like going around and around circle, whatever reason. But that's the only way I could get my equipment to get on the squad. And I finally overcame that. And when I was 2 weeks late, and we had 2 weeks before the first game. I finally get back on the field. The team been practicing 2 weeks. I'm not practicing because I hadn't got my equipment yet. I finally get on the team. The next thing you know, I'm in the starting lineup in the first week. And after that, you know, basically that, being able to have someone in my life that pushed me to a level that I didn't know that I had, that's when all lights come on as a kid. Having someone, yeah, they may tell you no or this and that, but to understand, to appreciate something that you find very hard to do that you haven't done, and finally you know how to capture it, you know how to get it done. When that happened, then all roads went north with me. I didn't have no problem with nothing else because I knew what I needed to do to achieve things. People say the swag, black schools, hey, we ain't dirt, but it made us, okay? Yep. It made us to learn how to deal with adversity. You know, I had my first game in the Super Bowl. I get knocked on my ass. Okay, I don't win the game in the first quarter. I can't win the game on the first play. I can't lose on the first play.
Yeah.
But what I do have to do is change my action. Now, you know, and this guy, when he hit me, I'm about to fall, and I saw Holloway. He's coming to clean me up. And in my mind, you know, I remember feeling something. Now, you can take this beating, or you can hit reset.
Mm-hmm.
So I said, let's hit reset. And reset means hit the ground. Get on the ground. And this guy flew over me, and he struck a match. And you say, why is it took him to strike that match when you playing the biggest game in your life? If you've never been there, you don't know, right? And anything in sports is what? You look at the game this past Super Bowl. First quarter, first half, one team did well. Second half, the other team did well. That adversity. You're going to get hit. You're going to get beat. But what do you do after that happens? Adversity always going to come in your life. But it's what you do after that adversity, man.
Yep. And that almost brings us to the end of our conversation, Richard. What keeps you up at night now? I know that you have two daughters and a son. And any grandkids on the horizon or are already there?
Yeah, I have a son. I got a grandson, 4. My daughter's 32, and I have a daughter, 30, that just had a granddaughter this August.
That's Mary. So
I have two in the change, and I have a son that's 14. I have a son that's 17. So, you know, those things are, you know, where you're enjoying getting my son to go to college, finding where he might want to go. My other daughter, you know. My other son, you know, he's just in the 9th grade. He's in St. Thomas Aquinas down here in Florida where I'm at. And to watch them bloom and watch them do things, that's what you appreciate. And, you know, I just appreciate service and people, you know. I just went out to Hawaii to work for the government, just tell the people, soldiers and all, I appreciate, you know, what they're doing to me. If I was a politician, I believe in, you know, anybody that served this country, you know, shouldn't have to work or shouldn't have to fight for a job. And if you go out, and we're there, you know, to keep your mind on football and keep your mind off the war and all these different things. But when you got people that go to war, get blown up and do things like that, and they come back and they, you know, they don't have a place, they got to find a place. To me, we are able, as one of the wealthiest countries, mm-hmm. we should not ever, ever, ever have a man or woman that then went to war, that come back, they got to go work for their life. When they don't put their lives, you know, on the line.
Yep, and
we just don't make no damn sense for a guy or a woman, anybody that done served their time. They should get all lotteries all day long.
Yep, and I totally agree with you, Richard. And you know, on that thought, remember I told you a little while back that I was in workforce and economic development for the last 20 years now.
Right.
And I have put together programs for returning veterans to teach them how to translate their MOS into civilian speak that a civilian employer can understand. And actually helped quite a few veterans to get some pretty darn good jobs in manufacturing. And that is a passion for me, and that's going to remain a passion for me. Like you said, they put their life on the line for us. And when they come back, yeah, it is our duty to make sure that, you know, they have a decent job and a decent life ahead of them.
Right. I mean, that means the world. I mean, this goes back to me with Muhammad Ali, when he decided not to go to war, but then what did our country do? Penalize him, stop him from fighting, stop him from boxing, stop him from making a damn living. That's hate. You know, he's like, with no Vietnam people calling him nigga or calling him name. He was finding that in his own community, you know. And, but then you go, you got people that go into service, end up staying in Germany in some of these places. Why? Because they treat them like respect. They treat them. They make them feel that way, you know. And I can't blame them. Why should I come home when people at home trying to hang me and call me all these different names, but yet don't appreciate me?
Yeah.
You know, world has gotten better, but we still got ways to go.
Well, there goes my bell ringing on me on that, Richard. And thank you again. On that note, folks, our guest has been Richard Dent. And we had a wonderful time, you know, talking with you, Richard. Thank you again for coming on the Turning Point podcast. We'd love to have you back to share some more stories as we go along. And,
sure.
You know, your other ventures take shape.
Well, I got some other things that I'm trying to accomplish, and I look forward to it. I look forward to working with Ken. I look forward to seeing, you know, what else we can do, what else we can have the opportunity to offer people up here. You know, as we say, up under the sun is nothing old. You just got to find it.
Yep. Okay, on that note, thank you again. And folks, you've been tuned in to the Turning Point podcast. I am Mohammed Fahim. I am the host of the show. And Ken DeLuca is the producer of the show. Ken, thank you very much for putting this segment together.
Sure, and thank you so much, Richard. I totally appreciate you coming on. This is one of the best podcasts I've ever done, so I really appreciate that. Y'all have been listening to the Turning Point podcast. Our goal is to present to you interesting people from all walks of life that have fascinating stories to tell, and offer you a platform to express what keeps you up at night. Folks, this is your podcast, and you make it better. So we're asking you a favor. If you're are an interesting person, or if you know one, please give me their information, and I will talk to them and hopefully get them on to share with the class.